Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a podcast about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. I am Keith Carter, a former Clevelander and lifelong Cavs fan now living in San Francisco. My co-host today is Joshua Jamison, a proud Ohio State Buckeye living in Pittsburgh. How's it going, Josh?
Given the circumstances, it's going about as well as it could be.
Yeah, the Cavs just lost another brutal game, and we'll get into that soon, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some podcast meta first, so I guess I'll just get right into that. So as some of our listeners may have noticed, we've been switching off between hosts lately. That has been intentional. I think the Cavalytics project, I guess they'll call it, will be more sustainable the more people we have involved with it. So I expect we'll have a few episodes with all three of Arnav and Josh and I together, a few solo episodes with only one of us, and episodes with various pairings. So that's that bit. I'm also going to introduce an official new segment to the show. I don't have a catchy name for it yet, but for anyone who's listened to the Effectively Wild podcast, which is a baseball podcast formerly from Baseball Prospectus, now from Fangraphs, they do a
Rest in peace, Sam Miller.
Yeah, that podcast just had some shakeup in the hosting situation itself. But in any case, they do a stat segment every show that I think is kind of neat, that I'm going to try to do something similar here and see if people like it. And we'll come up with a better name than the every show stat segment. Do you have any ideas on that front, Josh?
Absolutely none.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep meditating on that. I'd also like to put out an official desperate plea for more listener involvement. We get very little feedback from our listeners, so it's hard to know what you guys like, what you dislike, what you want to hear more of, and so forth. We're probably not big enough to have a listener email show, like some podcasts do, but it'd be great if we could answer one or two questions per episode, so please feel free to contact us. I guess the next step is I'll offer cash. How much cash do you think we'd have to offer to get people to talk to us, Josh?
That would be a very interesting study in behavioral economics.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure. I'll give my personal phone number if that would incentivize. You can call me at any hour of the night with your Cavs-related questions.
Oh, you won't answer like relationship questions, or you want to keep it Cavs-focused?
Well, actually, I would, if you submit relationship questions, Keith and I will carve out a segment in the show where we will attempt to answer it.
Yeah, like the Ricky.
Exactly, right. Just like we're just stealing segments from podcasts left and right.
Yeah, we'll get something that works here. So, in any case, if you would like to reach us, you can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @cavalyticsnba, and we pretty aggressively respond to everything we get at both those places, which is basically nothing, so that's easy to say. But talk to us, please. So, you have anything else you want to say before we get into this game recap?
No, let's just jump right into it.
Okay, so the Cavs just lost at home to the Sacramento Kings, who are 18-27. They lost 116-112 in overtime, and it was ugly.
Yeah, and of course, you know, once again, LeBron basically played 45 minutes in, you know, a losing effort, which is infuriating.
Yeah, he played 44 minutes, 49 seconds. I joked that on the upside, LeBron James is in line to break the NBA record for minutes played in a week. That's unofficial. I don't know if that's true. But, I mean, the last Cavs game went into overtime. Or actually, it was two ago. The Spurs game went into What, am I getting this wrong? Spurs went into overtime.
Right?
Yes, it did. Did you notice that the Spurs rested Kawhi Leonard the next game?
Wow. It's almost as if there's research into player performance on, you know, back-to-backs or just in general.
Yeah, it wasn't even a back-to-back for them. We didn't have a back-to-back either, but LeBron played another 40-plus minutes in our next game and then 45 minutes tonight.
Yeah, it just, obviously we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point, but it wasn't just a few years ago when everyone was lauding, you know, Greg Popovich for keeping all of his players under 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have almost 32-year-old best player in the world on our team, and he's playing 45 minutes in a losing overtime game. Again, we're beating a dead horse, but it just, there's no reason, there's no logic for this.
Yeah, we should probably move on from this, but I do have a couple more things I want to say. So Tyronn Lue, after the loss, you know what, who did the Cavs play before? Who did we lose to? Oh, the Pelicans. After the Pelicans lost,
without
Tyronn
Anthony
Lue,
Davis.
Right, yeah, the Davis-less Pelicans. Yeah, Tyronn Lue said, it was on him. He needs to, you know, control LeBron's minutes better. And yeah, first game back. And look, with this game went to overtime, so LeBron had to play an extra 5 minutes, but he would have played 39 minutes, 49 seconds, which is still 2 minutes more than his already NBA league leading minutes per game. So yeah, I mean, they're just unable to figure out a way here. I'll move on here, but
he didn't have a triple-double.
He did. LeBron had 13 rebounds, 11 assists, 24 points, 2 steals, 5 turnovers. We'll get to that final turnover in a minute here. But yeah, I mean, look, LeBron James's minutes are a finite resource. We don't know how finite it is, but every time we, you know, use more minutes, especially in losing efforts, you got to wonder what the long-term consequences are. But okay, all right, we've talked about that enough. We can move on. Yeah, I mean, tonight was sort of a masterclass in how to give away a game. I mean, the Cavs they shot 50% from the line, 17 of 34. I saw a tweet from, I think it was Kevin Pelton, and he said that if the Cavs, taking into account who shot the free throws for the Cavs, you'd expect the Cavs to have made 25 or 26 free throws tonight, and they lost by 4. So, you know, if they would have had 8 more points or 9 more points on free throws, you know, they would have comfortably won, wouldn't have even gone into overtime. It was, yeah, just terrible free throw shooting. LeBron had the turnover at the end when the Cavs were down 3, I think. Were they down 2 at the time? I can't remember, but, you know, turned it over and Kings came down and scored, and that was sort of that second game in a row that LeBron has had a sort of last possession turnover that cost them the game.
And we just, we just mentioned that we shouldn't, you know, again, beat the dead horse, but you have to believe that a lot of those turnovers are happening because he's playing 40 minutes a night.
Yeah, tonight in particular, he had 0 turnovers in the first half. He had 5 turnovers in the second half, which, look, who knows? This is small sample size, but I mean, my theory, I said this on the last show, is that his increased turnovers are a function of fatigue. And yeah, I don't know what to do about this. I think that LeBron James playing 90% for 30 minutes a game would be better than playing at 50% for 40 minutes a game. And I think that's sort of self-evident.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think something else that stood out to me tonight is just looking at the box scores, the minus 17 for Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
You'd think, based on he had a few moments where he was cooking, and so I think a lot of people might walk away from this game being like, oh, Kyle Korver played well, but in reality, he did not. It's not anything new that he is basically unable to play defense, but minus 17, and the next worst is minus 9 for James Jones, so, you know, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if you saw Arnav texted us right before we started recording, but at the end of the game and the beginning of overtime, Korver played 19 straight minutes. So there's problems with that for a number of reasons. The first is, NBA players don't typically play 19 minutes in a row. Like, sometimes they'll play an entire quarter, but then they'll, you know, start resting at the beginning of the next quarter. But anyway, he played 19 straight minutes, including at the end of regulation during some crucial late game defensive possessions with Iman Shumpert on the bench. And we've talked about this before. Iman Shumpert is probably not the best team defender in the world, but in any case, he's a much better defender than Kyle Korver. And the final play of the game, or well, the final play that mattered was the Aaron Aflalo 3. The game was tied. The Kings called timeout. They ran a play for Cousins. Korver came to double DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins saw it, passed to Aflalo, and Aflalo made a 3, which sort of sealed the game. That sucked. That was really bad defense. And you wonder if Shumpert, you know, would have at least gotten a hand up to deflect that pass, or maybe he wouldn't have cheated off of his man in the first place. It's frustrating to watch.
I think Shumpert is a pretty decent on-ball defender. I think I would say that most of his struggles are when he's off-ball, when he needs to fight through screens, or he allows more back cuts than maybe any other Cav I've ever seen. there's no argument. There's no argument that Iman Shumpert would have been better on defense, and it is questionable. I mean, Ty Lue's allowing LeBron James to play 45 minutes or 44 minutes and 49 seconds. You know, you can
don't
argue.
Exaggerate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was egregious of me. But yeah. even if you're arguing that Ty Lue doesn't have any power over LeBron James' minutes, playing a guy 19 minutes in a row, playing Korver in defense situations, that's unacceptable. I don't understand the reasoning. And the thing about Ty Lue is I feel like when he first came in as a coach and kind of all through the second half of last year, he did a noticeably better job at his substitution pattern than Blatt. And so yeah. I don't know what's going on right now that shifted it so dramatically.
Yeah, Artif mentioned the other day that it's almost as if he, this thing where like you play your superstars too many minutes in an effort to get short-term wins is something that coaches who are desperate, who like sort of feel like their jobs are threatened. I don't think that's the case here, but I sort of agree with the notion that, yeah, like the way that he is abusing LeBron and Kyrie Irving's minutes right now is sort of feels desperate. And the Cavs don't need to be desperate. I mean, the Celtics and the Raptors keep losing. The Cavs probably don't need home court in the East. And if it's so important for them to get home court in the East, they certainly have no chance in the finals anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems like the right thing to do here is to be more conservative and, you know, sacrifice wins in the short term. And certainly if you're going to lose anyway, it'd be nice to see lower minutes loads.
Yeah, to Ty Lue's job security, it's not as if the Cavs have been this stable organization always supporting, you know, their guy. It was a year ago when we fired David Blatt. So in midseason when the team was 30-11. So you kind of can't blame him if he is feeling that pressure. I would hope that someone's sitting him down and saying, I think he's about as untouchable could be. Now, if they lost like the next 12 in a row, I think they'd probably fire him and just let LeBron be the coach once and for all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's inexplicable. His substitutions.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm frustrated by it. The Cavs were short-manned even more than usual tonight. Richard Jefferson was unavailable due to personal reasons. I don't know if we'll get more information on that or not. But yeah, just sort of ugly all around. The Cavs tried in the second quarter a lineup with... They played Kay Felder a lot more tonight than they have been in recent games. It didn't work very well, which is particularly bad because the point guards for Sacramento are both kind of small. So Darren Collison is not big, and Ty Lawson is even smaller. So you would think that Felder might have a chance against those guys. You know, even though he's giving up a little bit height, it's not as much as he's normally giving. But yeah, Felder played 11 minutes, was minus 7, and had some really, really bad-looking passes. He had 3 turnovers in 11 minutes.
And he wasn't the only one on the team who was making egregious passes, Channing Frye as well. Just they seem discombobulated as a team, and it's not surprising that Kay Felder, for all their faults, the announcers, you know, Carr, they talk a lot about
Fred McLeod.
Right. They talk a lot about how he needs to get used to the pace of the game. And Kay Felder basically goes at 100 miles per hour at all times.
Yes.
And he causes a lot of turnovers and he makes a lot of bad decisions and he needs to learn how to, you know, use change of pace and go at different speeds to become effective.
Do you think he will be in the league in 2 years?
That is a good question.
I think it's like 50-50.
I would say it's pretty close to 50-50. I'm going to lean toward yes, because his concerns... I mean, he was a second-round draft pick, mm-hmm. and he was pursued... He intentionally was pursued by the Cavs, and because the Cavs are kind of going to be in the same situation for the next 2 years, and with the CBA changes where you can have... I believe you'll be able to have more flexibility in keeping him in the D League. So
yes,
I don't know, his contract won't be restructured to be one of those two-way contracts, but I think just with that ability to have those D League contracts, that there'll be ways to keep him. I'd suspect they will. I mean, he's very athletic, and I think he could be. I mean, he is very fast, so if he could learn to use those skills, I think he could maybe be effective. Never on defense, but I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. That's on the plus side of the 50. The minus side is that he's like 5 foot nothing and weighs like 100 pounds and gets beat every time anyone tries to go at him. So yeah, we'll just see.
Yeah, hey, but so is Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
That's what
everyone's
going to say to you.
It's really irritating whenever I mean, look, I probably should spend less time being a contrarian and cutting down the Cavs' ninth man or tenth man. But, yeah, I just don't think he's very good.
Well, the real problem is that the Cavs just need an effing third playmaker, right?
Yeah. So, you want to get into the LeBron tirade and sort of the drama that's been unfolding around that the last couple of days?
So after the loss to the Davis-less Pelicans, basically had profanity-laced tirade where LeBron just swore up a storm in front of a bunch of beat reporters about how, you know, they needed to get another playmaker. And
I have some quotes here. Should I read them now?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So he said a bunch of stuff. I'll try and get these in the right sequence. But yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Okay, he said, we're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. We're a top-heavy team. I just hope we're not satisfied as an organization. I just hope we're not satisfied. How hard is it to do that shit? I just hope we're not satisfied. I don't know what we've got to offer. I just know me personally. I don't got no time to waste. I'll be 33 in the winter, and I ain't got time to waste. That's what I'm talking about. When I feel like physically and mentally, me personally can't compete for a championship no more, or I feel like I can't do it, then I won't have this problem. But until that happens, it don't seem like no time soon. And then apparently he didn't finish the sentence there. And then someone brought up with him, like, well, you know, the plan going into the season was to have Mo Williams be the backup point guard. And then he got hurt, and James said, we got fucked with that. And then he goes on, no respect to DeAndre Liggins and to Kay Felder. You think we can rely on them to help us win a playoff game right now, James said. And it's no respect to them, but it's like it's not fair to them. He's gotten better, James said on Felder. I commend him. But then, yeah, James went on to talk about Delly. It's tough for Tyronn Lue because we're in the process of trying to win a fucking championship. It would have been unfair to Delly to ask him his rookie year to play on a championship-level team. So that's why you guys in front of him, that's why you got guys in front of him that allows him to grow. We telling Kay to be a backup to a fucking superstar right now instead of being a backup point guard to a guy that's proven in the league. You know what I'm saying? He went on. I ain't got no problems with the front office. I told Griff to his face, so it ain't like I'm telling you all to put it on record. I see Griff all the time. One thing about me, if I've got something to say, I'm going to tell it to your face. We need a fucking playmaker. I'm not saying you can just go find one like you can go outside and see trees. I didn't say that. So
this is incredible, and there's a lot of different things to unpack, and so, you know, we'll try to take it slow.
Yeah, well, hold on. There's two more things. Yeah, there's two more. Okay, so he says it's been a shitty 2017 so far, and then before leaving the locker room, he joked he was going to post some more stuff to Twitter. He's like, y'all go ahead and decode this one I got tonight. So then he did go on Twitter, and he said, I'm not mad or upset at management because Griff and staff have done a great job. I just feel that we still need to improve in order to repeat if that's what we want to do. And then he like walked it back a little bit. I don't know. Did you see his tweets after that?
I did not, actually.
I have King James tweets go straight to my like Uber alert. let's see here. He said, okay, yeah. So then he said, lately taken L's, but very soon we'll bounce back. Boy, frustrating as hell. I know my team will bounce back if you a real one. If that, yeah. So,
okay. Wow, that's a lot to go on. I want to lead with the fact that he says, if he has a problem with someone, he'll say it to their face. I would submit the love fit in or fit out tweets from 2 years ago as maybe evidence that he actually.
Well,
it doesn't.
LeBron said that had nothing to do with Kevin Love, so, you know, obviously.
Right. I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. One thing tonight they mentioned in the broadcast that Griffin responded
by
saying that they've made every effort on their end to create a championship caliber team. And in his defense, clearly he did, because they did win a championship. So by definition, they're a championship caliber team. And that the problem was with the effort on the court.
Yeah, the quotes that I have here from Griffin are, "I appreciate the fact that he's really trying to keep us moving in the right direction." But then he sort of
with
changes
the positive
tune a little.
Vibes. I appreciate all the positive thoughts from LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. It really doesn't even have to be a point guard. It's just we need playmaking. It's something where we're all pretty keenly aware that it would help take some burden off Kyrie and LeBron as our primary playmaker. So if we could get somebody else that could do it, and it really doesn't even have to be a point guard. It's just we need playmaking. So again, the hope is that Kyle gives us the opportunity, talking about Kyle Korver, gives us the opportunity to create some offense another way and make us less dependent on those two play creators. And then here's the last quotes, and then we can get to discussing. "I think his comment about needing a big," this is Griffin talking about LeBron, "I'm not necessarily sure we're on that page, especially from the coaching staff standpoint. Ironically, because we like to play small with LeBron at the four so much. That may mean he doesn't like playing four so much, but we're awfully good when we play that way." All right, that's it for the quote hour.
Where do you want to start?
I mean, I don't know. I know where I want to start. That brings us to our every show statistical segment that we need a better name for. So do you want to do like a theme song?
Every show stat segment.
It's good. I wish. Well, I have to go back and record that so that we can use that. since the Golden State game on Christmas, I went to NBA Wowie, which is a website that allows you to look how various lineups perform. So you can say like, oh, how do the Cavs perform with LeBron in the lineup, with LeBron out of the lineup, with LeBron and some other player in the lineup, and you can do various combinations. So I went there and I looked up since the Golden State game. In 502 minutes with LeBron James on the floor, the Cavs have a defensive rating of 116.2. So that doesn't include tonight, but that means that per 100 possessions, the Cavs are giving up 116.2 points with LeBron on the floor. That is terrible. That would probably be worst in the league for the whole season. But that's in 502 minutes into the Golden State game. Without James, which is obviously far fewer minutes, 175 minutes, the Cavs have a defensive rating of 101.1, which is almost elite defensive rating. That's giving up 101.1 points per possession. I think LeBron's effort since the Golden State game, I was trying to prove a hypothesis here. I think his effort since the Golden State game has been lacking. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and on a psychological level, I don't want to begin to kind of get into that, but I guess I will. And saying, like, why wouldn't it? You know, you've just beat Golden State for the fourth time in a row, three of those times in the finals, and one of them on Christmas, and you kind of feel accomplished. You know, a lot of people have been saying that his legacy was completed when he brought the championship to Cleveland. And you even heard him the summer after that championship start, maybe for the first time, like very openly talking about chasing down Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Which was really interesting. So I think that's part of it. I also think that he's 32 years old and he's tired, and it's the middle of the season. And this is 2 years ago. I think shortly after when he would have taken his 2 week sabbatical. I think that was at the end of the December, but he's at that point. And the fact that he's playing the most minutes in the league, is it his effort is lagging or he is just physically not able?
Right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to like temper my level of concern. Like I remember at this time last season, right after the Cavs fired Coach Blatt, it was really concerning because they weren't playing well and LeBron was looking sort of pedestrian, and you wondered if like his hopefully slow steady decline was beginning to gain momentum. I don't want to like overreact too much, but I guess the point I'm making here is for all the complaining LeBron is doing about the roster construction, he's not playing very well right now. And presumably he's going to gear up for the playoffs and get himself ready and he'll be going at 100% then. But I mean, the Cavs gave up 70 points in the first half to the Davis-less Pelicans. They gave up, you know, another bucket load of points tonight. They gave 116 points to the Sacramento Kings, who aren't exactly, you know, those the run and gun, you know, Phoenix Suns, 6 seconds or less teams. Like, these guys are not strong offensive teams, and we're just giving up bucket loads of points. You know, tonight's game was overtime, obviously, but. Yeah, I'm not sure how much of the problem is that, like, oh, we need a playmaker to come off the bench, or it's just LeBron isn't trying as hard, and so it makes everyone else look incrementally worse.
Well, there are some large concerns about the fact that the Cavs are unable, despite having two quote-unquote stars outside of LeBron, to be successful when he is off the court. That is concerning. When he says we need a third playmaker, like you said, they let up 70 points without Anthony Davis on the court against the Pelicans. I saw Ethan Sherwood Strauss tweet, do you mean a playmaker on defense?
Because, yeah, it's good.
Because, I mean, their offensive rating is tied for fifth in the league. This is not updated for tonight, but their defensive rating is significantly worse than that.
Yeah, so, I know they were. Last I looked, they 17th. Were like 17th, but I bet they're. Yeah, they might be 18th now. I'm not sure. And it's been a while. I think there hasn't been a team. I saw something too. There hasn't been a team that was outside of the top 10 in defensive rating to win the finals since it was like that 2003 Lakers team. I think it was that Lakers team with Shaq and Kobe.
Yes. And that was a team that was notoriously packing it in. Right. In terms of their effort level during the regular season, I do believe that once you move LeBron to the four and you're playing Love and LeBron, and that's the alignment that a lot of the playoff minutes are going to be. Oh, sorry, did I just mute myself? When you have LeBron at the four and Love at center, but you have LeBron guarding the rim, which is how it works in the playoffs, that will improve your defense significantly. LeBron was so good at guarding the rim against the Warriors in the finals. They would pull up just in the most ridiculous times because they just were afraid to approach the rim. Like, he's a monster there. He can't play in that position. I mean, it's been years since even when he was significantly younger than he is now, when he was with the Cavs the first time. Like, they asked him to play the four. And he said no, because it takes a toll on your body playing against those big bodies.
Yeah, and I realize that, and he realizes that, you know, in the playoffs you gotta suck it up and do whatever you can to maximize your winning percentage. I just want to see him coasting now. Like, he's coasting, but he's playing 45 minutes a game.
That's what's so weird.
It's like this weird hybrid coast it's like the worst of all worlds, right? You're still losing. He's playing like way too many minutes. They're establishing really bad habits because everyone's half-assing it out there, and it's painful.
If you're gonna lose big, don't play LeBron at all. Like, I don't think they need the second seed or the third seed. They don't need the first seed, and they're not gonna get the first seed in the league. So, yeah, just tank. I mean, don't tank, right. but I mean, play him every other game for the rest of the season. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, we sound like a broken record. This is really great radio.
I have one other point on this quote, though, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
When he talks about needing a third playmaker, people always talk about, and this is going to be really controversial, I don't think LeBron actually has a working knowledge of the NBA cap. I don't believe that he does. And when he says comments like that, I think that maybe it was just the heat of the moment, and he's like, well, you got to figure out a way somehow. But
yeah.
I really don't know if he has an understanding that the Cavs basically have almost no flexibility, and short of the buyout market, they really aren't going to be able to do much.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Arnav isn't here to defend LeBron, because I'm going to attack him a little bit too. I thought his tirade and his tweets were almost a little bit sort of naively cute. It's like, yeah, look, David Griffin would love to add Deron Williams or go trade for, you know, some really great ball handler, but it's not inside the cards. And a big part of that is that, you know, with the J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson contracts that were where they, you know, they squeezed as much possible money out of the Cavs, like there's just no money flexibility. So the Cavs, I think, are reluctant to add even an incremental $1 million because that cost them $4 million after the luxury tax. And even if they wanted to, it's so hard to trade that it's tough.
It goes even deeper than that. Signing of LeBron's best friends and Birdman and James Jones,
yeah,
and trading for Mike Dunleavy, all of these guys who are just his buddies, instead of getting some kind of athleticism on the team rather than everyone being, you know, aging veterans. That's a big part of it too. I mean, Mo Williams, Dunleavy, and Birdman basically haven't been able to play this season, and RJ hasn't looked that good lately either.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. I don't know how much of the Birdman thing I blame LeBron for. I suspect that LeBron suggested to David Griffin that they sign Birdman. Maybe he called Chris Anderson up and said, like, hey, man, if we offer you this deal, would you come play for us? And he was like, yeah. And then LeBron told David Griffin that. But, I mean, look, it's Griffin's job to, like, I don't think LeBron would have, like, you know, thrown a tantrum if we didn't get him. I don't know who to blame there. At the time that we signed Anderson, I was like, all right, well, you know, we got to kick the tires on someone. But I didn't realize that kicking the tires on him was going to mean that we weren't going to kick the tires on anyone else for the rest of the season. And I think that's the true cost here.
Well, when you knew you were going to be capped out, and they were when the offseason started, I mean, we don't know the inner workings, but did they try to get anyone? I mean, there was...
Well, they could wait. Birdman is still in the roster. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a significant amount of evidence that Birdman was never going to be able to play. He's 36 years old, I think?
I'm pretty sure
he already had some ACL troubles.
Like, he did.
Did you talk to anyone else? Did you talk to anyone else? Or did you just call up Birdman? Because if you held a gun to my head, I would say, why do you keep holding a gun to my head to ask me questions? I'll just answer them. But I would say I don't think they contacted anyone. Like, did they call Dwayne Dedman and say, hey, you know, we can't give you much money, but you want to play and rehab your value here? Like, did they even do that?
I mean, that's obviously a rhetorical question. I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, it's so easy in hindsight to say, like, look, you know, like, look, there were probably like 50 guys that were signed to league minimum deals, and to take like the five best of those 50 guys is a little bit unfair because...
Well, but that's not what
everyone,
I'm saying.
Everyone was sort of kicking the tires on guys.
Name one high upside out of any of these low-level signings that they've had in the last 3 years. Have any of them been like high upside... low floor guys? No, I think they've all been old aging veterans, and that's my point. Yeah. I'm not saying you need to hit a home run with all of them. I'm saying they needed to do their due diligence and go beyond just LeBron's friends.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, okay, I guess
some players who could play.
I would be fine with signing these old guys because they probably think they have a lower floor. Okay, so they think that, or they have a higher floor. They have lower upside, but they have higher floor. And you know, they're like, look, we're going to get Birdman in here. We know he's a pro. He's going to show up. He's not going to cause any issues. He's going to do, you know, a little bit. The problem with that is once he established that he was exactly at that low, you know, that high floor, they should have just waived him and then started a revolving door of randos from the D League to see if they can, you know, find, you know, catch some magic. I think they're hesitant to do that because every time they do that, they add more salary and they have to, you know, that has luxury tax implications. And I think they're hesitant to do that. And you know, now they're sort of stuck with Anderson on the roster, even though he's had ACL surgery. We know he's done probably for forever. But you know, they don't want to waive him because, you know, they're trying to find someone to take that salary, because that salary, whatever it is, costs 4x that. I think his salary is like around $1 million. So if they just waive him, they just have to eat it, and they don't want to do that.
And they would also need matching salary if they're going to take on a player in a trade. So even if it's not,
yeah,
just a
but
dump,
they have those. They have those two trade exceptions, right? They broke up the Varejao trade exception. So I don't think, I mean, unless they're going to try to trade for three people, which they're not, they don't need to save
when
him.
When do those expire?
I'm not sure.
They split them into three new ones. That's right.
Yeah,
so that
and I think we have them for a year now, yeah. So there was one more thing
left of the Verzhao one, but anyways, that's minutia.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's one more thing I wanted to talk about. Did you catch the hot rumor today?
Hot rumor. And running through the NBA is that the New York Knickerbockers offered the Cleveland Cavaliers Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love, and we declined.
Yeah, that is an almost insulting trade offer. It's unclear like how real this rumor is, but it was reported by Chris Haynes, who is, you know, ESPN's
noted
main
NBA
rumor
insider
guy now. Yeah, former Cavs beat reporter, now perhaps the most famous NBA insider, Chris Haynes. Yeah, so he reported it, which implies that there's, you know, some degree of truth to it. Why would the Knicks even? I mean, it's like an insulting trade offer. It'd be like, oh, you know, you know, Clippers, we'll give you Kay Felder for Chris Paul. Like, it's just sort of
that might be an exaggeration, but yeah, I mean, Love has basically been the better player for the better part of 4 years, and I think you could even argue that at some that Love's like best year in Minnesota was better than any of Carmelo Anthony's best years, especially mm-hmm. because I don't think Love's defense was ever quite as bad as people always said. His pick and roll defense, he struggles for sure, but the rest of it, he's a very smart defender, and those offenses were incredible. I think they're trying to play off. I mean, there's two things going on right now. One, they want to float out the idea that they are actively trying to shop this guy. That's uh-huh. one of the motivations. This is, you know, the Knicks PR making
well,
a move.
Okay, well, I'll let you go on, but I want to just interject something here. He has a full no trade clause. There are three people in the NBA who have full no trade clauses: Dirk Nowitzki, LeBron James, and Carmelo Anthony. So Carmelo Anthony has to approve a trade to anywhere. And my understanding is that he has approved trades only to the Clippers and the Cavs. I can't remember if it's the Clippers. There's two teams he's approved trades to. So
I
opening
believe
the proceedings, firing their first bullet of two is, yeah.
Maybe they think they can get Blake Griffin. I don't know.
But yeah, that's what they're going to try next.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that they're trying to play off of, yeah, you know, maybe LeBron is the real GM and maybe he'll do anything uh-huh. For his friends, because, you know, he signed Mike Miller, he signed James Jones, he signed, you know, like, why not trade for Carmelo
Anthony?
What
do you think? Let's say that LeBron James thinks that out of 100, Kevin Love's NBA talent is a 75. What do you think he thinks Carmelo Anthony's current level of talent is?
Man. So I don't believe that LeBron has a very good understanding of the cap, but I do think he knows basketball.
Forget the cap, but yeah.
I do think he knows basketball. And man, it's got to be lower than Kevin Love right now, especially the knee injuries. And I'm going to say 65, 60 maybe.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Are you just going to abstain?
Well, it terrifies me. Like, what if he thinks that Carmelo Anthony is awesome and he's like, you know, blowing up David Griffin right now saying, like, you better trade Love for Carmelo. Okay, that's probably not happening.
LeBron, like, verbally abuses Griffin. Like, he sends him, like, really mean texts.
Yeah, he's like, why haven't you gotten CP3 yet? I don't know. It's possible. Okay, next question. Do you think LeBron James voted for Carmelo Anthony to be a NBA All-Star?
Absolutely. Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and All Carmelo buddies. Anthony. Absolutely.
Okay. So you think now? Do you think he did that sarcastically? So he knows that Carmelo is no longer on that level, but he. I mean, look. I'm sure he voted for himself. He only got to choose two forwards, right?
Three forwards.
Okay, so he picked himself.
Two
guards, okay, you think he voted for himself, Carmelo Anthony, and Kevin Love? You might be right. That actually probably is what he did. The more I think about it.
Yes, I
unless,
do believe
unless
that.
Is Wade listed as a forward? He's probably a guard.
I think he is. I think he's listed as a... Well, no, because
oh,
he's been a guard.
Drama. I want to see. I want to see. I want to unlock LeBron James's ballot.
We should start a petition,
demanding to see
it. We should march.
Next year they're going to be public, by the way.
The ballots should be public. So, you know, thinking about, I don't think that LeBron would take his voting all that seriously, right? Like, he knows the game doesn't mean anything, so he's like, I'll throw my buddies on there, right? He might have not even voted. Maybe he doesn't care.
He was one of the 30% of players not to vote.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Or maybe he had his, like, I bet, you know what I bet he did? I bet he had his kid vote for him, LeBron James Jr. He was like, no, dude, vote for whoever you want. Here you go. Here's my laptop. And
you're,
I bet his buddy.
You're suggesting... LeBron James committed voter fraud? Is this your official hot take here? Oh,
this
boy.
Is why we need voter identification.
Is that a federal offense?
Game.
I don't know if... yeah, I mean, it's obviously a federal offense.
Widespread voting fraud within the NBA ranks. Huh. But I guarantee
you... Heard it here first.
...that LeBron James' son voted for Steph Curry.
Wow. That's mean. That's mean. Okay, I think we're done here. Do you have anything else you wanted to get to?
Well, so we just dismissed the Carmelo trade just outright. There's nothing more to say about that?
I don't think so. I mean, I saw a joke on Reddit today where someone was like, I think it was the world's, you know, shortest phone call. Like, you know, oh, hey, you know, this is the New York Knicks. We're looking to trade Carmelo Anthony. Will you give us? And immediately they were like, no. They didn't even wait to hear what they wanted. Yeah, I hope that's how that conversation went. David Griffin. Oh, by the way, David Griffin was asked in his pregame press conference whether that happened, and he declined to comment.
Well, we'll see if like Wendy has something to say about it on a Zach Lowe podcast or something coming up here, or Hey Wendy or something.
Yeah, he may have some insight into how LeBron feels about this. I'm not sure.
Okay, I have one last thing to say, guys. We need to. The listeners of this podcast need to demand. Answers and honesty from the voting the voters of the All-Star game. How can we know we can trust them?
Something smells amiss.
I'm just kidding. That went way too far. I just one last thing. In our show notes, there is a note in cell 12, B12, the vitamin. Korea played 19 straight minutes.
Yeah. So, that is a autocorrect from I have a Mac. If I use TextEdit, it aggressively corrects random stuff. So when I type in Corver, it always autocorrects it to Korea, and I kind of like that. So
it would be way more interesting if Korea played 19 straight minutes, like they just took over the court.
Yeah, that would be good. I think we would probably be a minus in their time on the floor, but you know, it's hard to say without actually seeing it.
Yeah. Well, anything else?
That's it. So that is going to wrap up this episode of Cavalytics. If you'd like to contact us, and judging from our dusty inbox volume, nobody does, but you can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. The good news is you're guaranteed a response. Go ahead.
I will give one number of my phone number every episode for the next... 10 episodes?
Not 10. Yeah, well, it depends if you're going to start with 1 or the first number of your area code.
I will give the first number of my area code, and eventually it will be unlocked. So the first number is 7.
Okay, 7. All right. For those listeners paying attention, keep that down. Thanks for listening, and go Cavs.